Okay, so we're holding here, again, I'm using the Yaakov Piska of Lamed Gimel. And these are really the start of most of the famous Chazals. That's Nogea to Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Avos. For some reason, this is where most of these Chazal are. These are the Agaritas. Lamed Gimel. Vayokem al chodesh al Mitzrayim ashal yodes Yosef. Rav Shmuel amachad amachodesh mamish chadam shetchasir Yosef. So machlokes whether he really was a new king or somebody that he made an about face and he was going to nuk zeres. Mandi amar chodesh mamish dechsiv chodesh. Mandi amar she eschatchuk zeroisov the loyksiv vayomus vayimloich. So it seems to be sort of not a terribly relevant machloikis. In other words, I mean, okay, it's a machloikis where there was a new king or not a new king. I mean, it makes Lachura zero difference to the story over here, whether it was actually a new king or not a new king. Lamayin afkemina, it seems to be very picayuni kind of detail. So the moral, so see the moral over here. Vayokim al chodesh v'nir lemandi al chodesh mamish horich siv chodesh v'loiksi vayokim al chametzrayim kidei shloitayma shahoyez amelach benoye ben benoye b'lahav chodesh mamish lakach kosev chodesh klayma loy benoye ben benoye rak mal chodesh mamish olemandi amish neschatzik zeroisav. He says ein pirusha shoy amelach shahoyez b'me Yosef. He says it doesn't make any sense to say it was the same king. I mean, on its side, you could say there was some sort of special, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him long life for some reason. Uman de Omar, Shneischatchuk Zeroisov, Save Nischatchuk Zeros, Afkir Malchus Arishin. Kehain Goza Hashem's Brochlias Exeret Sefoil, Bain Royish Shemash Nigs al Yako al Zerash al Yakov Kuntax Malchechot. So let's talk a little bit, and he says something very, very similar. He speaks about this in Gvuras Hashem, very similar, not much difference. And let's understand what he's trying to say. He's explaining that this whole piece in Chazal is trying to explain the following phenomena. It can't be, and I'll read this lashon in Gevuras, that it was a totally different regime. He says, it was something that was a, this is actually from Ksav Yad, where he says that the gzera of Radu Shanim was one gzera, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say that it was a totally new Malchus. In other words, like this. What the Pasuk is trying to tell you is, within the same framework of Malchus Mitzrayim, you had a radical change. It's not as if, so for instance, let's give an example. If you're in a country, a Jew is living, let's say, in Hungary, and it was captured by Austrian, and then the Hungarians had their own independence, and their situation changes. So that's understandable, because new regime, different type of people, different outlook, and things change. But that the same regime itself should change, and turn, that's something that is very special. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, within the structure of Mitzrayim, there is the gzeira of Ger Yazachar Baratz Alehem, And then there's a Gzeira v'Avdu and there's a Gzeira v'Inu. And it happens in the same framework, even though it seems like a radical change. For instance, in the example we gave, let's say a person lived in Poland or Lithuania, one of the countries that kept changing hands. So there was one regime under the Nazis, one regime under the Russians, one regime when it was independent, and there were obviously very, very changing times for the Jews. But when you have, let's say, a Jew in Germany, and until a certain year, this Jew felt that he was as German as German, and his neighbors were the nicest, most wonderful people, and so on and so forth. And then on a dime, they turned against him. And it wasn't as if, you know, he felt the Nazis forcing him to do X, and he has to save his own hide, his own job. But the same person that seemed to be a brother to him 1 year, the next year was foaming at his mouth. And that's the incredible part of that type of Gzeira. So the Vayokum Melech Chodesh, Chazal are trying to explain that this was within the framework of Malchus Mitzrayim. And that's why, even if it was a different king, the Maral explains, there's a certain continuity in a regime. You know, it's something that is Paro Mitzrayim, you expect it to be continuous. And you expect that whatever nice relationship he had with the Jews, he would continue having. There was no reason for it to change. And then when you see a drastic change, you recognize that this is part of Gzeira, and more than part of Gzeira, this was built into the world of Mitzrayim. That's more. So both, whether they say Melech Mamish Chadash or Shenzchach Yerosev, both of them are stressing the two same points, that continuity and radical change. It was the same Malchus, and yet it almost appeared as if it was a new Melech. Okay, Vayomel Amo. So the next piece over here is Vayemel Amo Hina Amnei So Rava Otzum Imenu Tana Hu Yisrael Beitzeh Tchila Shnema Vayemel Amo Lefikach Loko Hu Tchila Shnema Ubucho Ba'amchol Avrecha Yatzfardim. So Paro was the one that it started with it. It wasn't a grassroots movement. He started and then it spread to everybody else. So Maral explains what's the significance of it. Vayemel Amoy Tono, who is called Beitzaka Hulokat Hilo Bhov Amko Yalas Fadim, Bier Baze, Kihoya Hamelach Dafka has Cholos Exero, Shrele Nosan Oysen Mashem is Baruch Lavodim, Rakle Pare, Lavodim Lavodim, Lefiko Hiskol Pare Bachaka Vodov. So he says, the Maral explains the reason for this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them over only to Pare. The only one that could subjugate Klal Yisrael is Paro. And therefore, once Paro made them his subjects, then they were automatically shayach to everybody else. It's similar to, like the Gemara says in Gittin, that Rabbi Yochanan told Vespasian that you must become an emperor because it says that the Levonin Ba'ad Yitein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will allow the Beis HaMikdash only to become Charev by the master, by the great one, which means the emperor, and therefore it could only be given to him. That's the same similar Gemara. What's the meaning of that? It's like it's a covet, I guess, that the only one that hits you hard is the king. And I was, what's the chshivas of it? So I think it means whenever the Maral says in many places that a malchus is not b'mikra, meaning that anything which is in the macro world, we note the hashgacha. Things that are on a micro level, so one can attribute it, or maybe should attribute it, to the normal function of teva, unless a person has Ruach HaKodesh and understands it different. But when you're looking at things on a macro level, In other words, why did two people on why did two people in Austria fight and one killed each other? I have no idea. But that Austria conquered Hungary, that's something that is a more of a global meaning. And those are things where we, the Her Hashgacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's running the world, express itself when we're dealing with nations, kings, etc. And that's why when the Maral speaks about where there's no Mikra, one of those is Melachim. Divrei Melachim are not b'Mikra. So Klal Yisrael being subjugated by Mitzrayim, had it been the normal practice of a normal mitzvah to sort of say, hey, this Jew is a weak guy, I'm going to put a gun to his head and have him work for me, that would have been a process that one wouldn't see Klal Yisrael be goy b'kerev goy. It wouldn't have any universe. It wouldn't have that type of those implications of being part of some grand scheme. It's a tzara. You're a foreigner. You live amongst people that are, looking for an opportunity to get rich at the price of the poor man's plight, and that's what they do. So there's not that sense of it. Malach means Mitzrayim as a nation. Mitzrayim subjugates Klal Yisrael, and therefore it had to start with the Melech. Once it's out of the Melech, it could continue. So then it says, what was his pitch? So it says, Hoven is Chakmaloi. So it says, what Lahemi Boilei? What does it say, Hoven is Chakmaloi? I mean, he's saying that the Jews are a fifth column, and they are, we need to subjugate them. So Havas Chakma Lehem, they will let's outsmart them. Let's try to figure out the God of Israel seems to be the very, very powerful. Let's figure out what's his home court. And where is he, where can one get at him more quickly? So he says, Why? Akadosh Baruch Hu works with Mida Keneged Mida. And the only Mida that we know for sure he is restricted to not using is water. So let's drown them. And Akadosh Baruch Hu would not possibly be able to exact revenge on us, so we're safe. Shekvon nishpa Akadosh Baruch Hu mavil olam. Sorry, shenema ki bein noach se sliach she nishpati mavor mein noach oid al oretz veim einen yodim shal kol olam einen mevi al umachas umevi. Inami huena mevi al vahein boim noifam toich hamayim. Vechenoim mitzayim nosin krosse v'nashan sain toich hayam. Vayne rabbe loza meirich siv yudova shazodalem b'kteir shibishu bo nispashu. So, the Neschak Maloi means they were trying to work around Hashkacha, and they came up with this plan, and they didn't realize the shortcoming two areas. It's interesting, the avoiding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha, in a certain sense, is the essence of Kishuv. No, it says Mitzrayim was a land full of kishuv. Kishuv means the following. And one reason why kishuv is so evil and why it's on par with Avodah Zarah is the following reason. Kishuv says like this. There are supernatural forces in the world. And you can't deny that. But just like you have science and you can take natural forces in the world and you can harness it, get around it, and make use of it for your own purpose. So here you have a raging wind, which can be very destructive. You can attach blades to it and make electricity out of it. Here you have water that floods, we can make a dam. The natural world can damage us. We have the ability, because we understand it and we know it, we can tame it Not only can we protect ourselves from it, we can actually harness it for us. So the person takes the same approach and he says, you know, Hashem runs the world with a mechanism. This Olam Elyon, that Olam Elyon, and so on. If you figure out how those Olamos work, then we will be able to get around it. So in effect, what you're doing is you're reducing HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the most basic level to be, it functions in a determined way. In other words, there are buttons and levers to push and to pull, and you can get your way. So if you say this shame, that shame, you do this pool or that pool or the other pool, you can force HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what you want to do. Because at the end of the day, it's a system. And therefore, Bilam said, I can only do what Hashem tells me to do, but I'm a psychologist. I know how to get Hashem to tell me what I want him to tell me. So I will tell him to... I'll bring these karbanis, is seven as much, you know, is equal to the obvious. I'll do this, I'll do that, and I will be able to slip in. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset once a day because he's got a temper. So at that moment, I'm going to slip in and get what I want to get done. Those are machshavos where it's avodah zarah at a much, much deeper sense than the crude avodah zarah. The crude avodah zarah disregards everything. We have a stone and a rock, and this is God, and so on and so forth. This type of avodah zarah is much deeper. This type of avodah zarah is that Hashem has got a great system. If I crack the code, he's helpless against it. And that's what Paro said. Paro recognized the force behind Klal Yisrael, but understood that you can get around it and manipulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem. Okay, so let's see the morale over here. Haven is chakma lo mi boi. Diktuk rabbi seinu zal because of zer. Bi af agav she nichtav kol potza shen yochid, hini am le sol roi va'atsum, she bevari lach hakos haskel shen yochid ha'am, avul milas loi, she bechol mok nish lim ut loi v'lache, in da hakos nichtav rabbi. So the first thing is he's explaining why Chazal found this word loy much more indicative of some sort of pshat than the other lashon yochid. L'chur, it Chazal will bother with lashon yochid. Well, the whole pasuk I'm atzum and rav. So he says those we find many times. Refers to many, like for instance, Vayilu Shor v'Chamor. Rashi says many Shor, many Chamor. It's not a stira, but the word Loi Chazal always darshin Loi v'Loi la'acher. In other words, Loi is a word that is used specifically as a marker, him and only him, and therefore, if that's the case over here. You know, what are we talking about? L'chein d'asal shalei samil lebo loy min ischak moshin shei yisol. V'ein d'asal sena zal, ki pir shaloy le moshin, rak ha mefar shen loy le om ki mashmoy, rak sha saloy ma le am, ba meshem yuchodim v'nasa kish echot. V'ze b'mashu yisbor chalekeyem, v'ze im dolakum asasam echot, v'al achto shem shemachlo yisem ischak moshin shei. So Ral here does something which he does many times in these pirushim, I think it's a very important piece. When Chazal amafkia a pasuk from its kipshutoi, they're not playing a game with the words, but they're really showing a deeper knach in the words. So when you have a so-called chassidish vartel, so you take the words, you use it for a totally different meaning, the meaning that you're conjuring up is no shaychus to the pasuk, but it's cute. It's emes mitzad whatever you want to say, and it's cute mitzad the play on the words. That's the it's a play on words. That's all it is. The Chazal, and this is part of the morals. They weren't playing games. They aren't word games. Chazal was saying like this: when it says loy, so it's referring to Klal Yisrael, Belashon Yachid. That means that Klal Yisrael can function as one entity. Why and how is that? What element and aspect of Klal Yisrael is the nekuda that causes all of Klal Yisrael to act as one? And the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's talking about Klal Yisrael. Avos Chachma Loi means Klal Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael being referred to Loi as Lashon Yachid obviously is referring to this nekuda HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which makes them one. And therefore, it's be'etzem getting around a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way the Maral sees it. So the word loy doesn't, Chazal didn't stop using it to refer to Klal Yisrael, which is the obvious pshat in the pasuk. But if there is, if Klal Yisrael has a name loy, it's referring to the nekuda in Klal Yisrael of the Mashiach Shei Yisrael. That's what he says over here. V'chilek gadol bein otzim eminas loy. Further down a little bit. So Klal Yisrael, because they all are centered around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that allows them to be Echad. This, by the way, I want to add something about this. When we speak about Klal Yisrael, about Achdus and Klal Yisrael, so it's not something, and these are times when people get killed and so on. The Achdus that exists is not a simply because we just decide to be friends with each other. If we decide to be friends with each other, then I decide to be a friend. I decide not to be a friend. There's nothing there that's bad smechot. It's not because people hate us all. That would mean the common denominator with me and you and the other person is that we're all hated. It's a pretty lousy common denominator. That's why all these type of expressions of, Hitler did not distinguish between a Jew born from a Goyish mother or Yiddish mother, therefore we should not. So basically, Hitler is the one who decides who's Klal Yisrael. That's kind of absurd. And it also makes us, so the common denominator we all have together is that we're underdogs, that we're nebs that the world picks on. I mean, yes, I understand that it's good to stick together, but that's not a good reason. The reason is the other way around. It's because we share something whether or not we acknowledge it. And the only one nekuda that you can have all Klal Yisrael share around is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think I told it a story many years ago. This is when I was still traveling back from Eretz Yisrael. I sat next to a group of a Christian sect that were coming to Israel. They were a sect that similar. They looked like the Amish a little bit, sort of dressed very old-fashioned type, but they lived communal lives. In other words, they would live in groups of 400 people or family and share everything. And it was a German sect, and it was called Briderhof, which means brotherly court, fraternal court. And they had been persecuted by the Nazis, they escaped to South America, and then they ended up mostly in upstate New York. Kind of every time they become big, they make another colony. I guess it's them and Satma going to be competing on all the area between Canada and Muncie. So so the son of the leader was sitting next to me. Very fine people, very idle people, simple people. You know, they show me pictures of the girl have the long pigtails and long dresses, and you know, very interesting. And then I asked him what brings him to Israel. He told me something very fascinating. He said when the kibbutz movement was disintegrating, this was around the turn of the millennium, of the century, and in the 1990s and so on, all the kibbutz went private, more or less. And people were trying desperately to preserve the kibbutz in its original form. So they brought in different people from different communal structures that still retain, you know, communal living, and see what they're doing right, and you know, maybe copy it. So being that their sect are that type of life, they share the income and they distribute and so on, it's communal life. So they brought them in also, they brought his father in. And he told me that, you know, when his father met them the first time, he asked them, so what do you believe in? And they said, we don't believe. And he looked at him and he said, if you don't have a common father, what makes you brothers? In other words, living in proximity with somebody, it's a relationship, it's an association, it requires that, you know, we're cordial, but the type of joint life that you expect is only possible if you come from one common sheresh. Unless Klal Yisrael says at the core who we are is one, we're all Am Hashem, and we're each and every one of us as a Yachid and as a Klal was Kiris Bris HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there isn't a real common denominator. Yes, if we happen to be persecuted, so the Gypsies were persecuted and the Jews were persecuted, so I guess we'd help each other escape from wherever it was. But that's it. I wouldn't call that an essential bond of any type. The fact is we have a common sheirish, and that's the loy in Klal Yisrael. That's why real achdus is, yes, people should not fight, people should be civil. I'm on board with all of that, but I don't call that achdus. I call that civility. I call that derech eretz, midas tovas, whatever you want to call it. Achdus is a very, very powerful word, and it's only shaykh when there's an echad. Rav Moshe Shapiro once explained the Dor HaFloga. He said that when you have, they were trying to make achdus without the echad. In other words, hava, same hava. Let's get together. Let us do it. Humanity unite. And there's nothing we can't accomplish. So we don't need a God. We need to all put all our strengths together and we can conquer the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not shoot an arrow at their ability to conquer everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shot the arrow much earlier than that. He said, what does the word hava mean? If you are only friends, associates for pragmatic reasons, you're not one. And when push comes to shove, you will push and shove each other. There's no echad. So they were trying to, and in a certain sense, that's the ultimate kfira. It's fascinating that the movement that was kfira itself was communism. And communism was exactly that. Communism was let all mankind unite and put our energies and efforts together, and then we will realize that God is totally superfluous. It's only there because we're not together. But once all humanity unites, we can do anything. That was the disaster of communism. Okay, and then he says, explains Vizel Moshe. Mavis at Surge of Akash Brahu. We are dual a whole maskil cat sur davan kuyam, or be mime in kium kashinigarm adsa. We made mute sir surasum lenema be mime bria be tirbash gracious. Vizerai al meat at surbem, the hena hoishak lenema by bria be it zero, the figure is kima mitzim, shlinidonim is so rak be mayim. Ki kol midas akash brahu midaka get mida, kvarnasa kim lo ilum in leer shed lo ilum kium. Lila Havar de Mayesh and Virna Coil. Let's speak about first the Havamin and then the Maskrana. He says, what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not, well, let's destroy him with water, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to destroy him with water. So he said, the destruction of water is specific. What the Maharal is trying to avoid is, it's not just the mikra of, you know, water is something which I used as a means to destroy somebody. Akash Baruch Hu would use it back on me. It's a lot. Water is a certain type of destruction, and he explains what that destruction of water is specifically. Everything that is in the world has chaymer and surah to it. Chaymer is the physical substance. So when I have this table, I have a wood and metal, and it has a certain amount of mass and chemical composition and so on. And then it has surah that it functions as something. So what water does is, when you put something in water, it doesn't seem to destroy the thing itself. It just, everything falls apart. And you end, so for instance, I have a sefer. If I were to pour water on it, a lot of water, so I would still have mush, which is more or less the paper I started with and the ink, but it would no longer have its surah. It wouldn't have pages. It wouldn't have writing. It loses whatever it is. It's the way in which it's combined to make something that is a metzias. So water is a certain type of power of destruction. Water melts away the tzurah, and this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is, they felt if they would do it to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sworn not to do it again. So he says, so it wasn't just Midika Gemita, what this happened, the water is also water. It's going to the heart of what destruction by water is. The Avodah Prate Zeklau, the Oid, I mean Chazal, when they want to speak about Avlad before Mem Yoim, they say it's Maya Ba'alma. It has no Tzura. All we can see is just fluid. And then he says, and that's why he says by fluid, there was no, things that are fluid that have substance. A glass of water weighs something, but it has a definite weight. It has no definitive shape. Pour it from one glass to another glass, it'll pick up the shape of what it's picking up. So he says, first of all, he says, there's a big difference between drowning a group of people and drowning the world. Drowning the world means you remove the tzura from the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not do, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu would deal with a specific group. That's one. And it says, "V'oyd ashvur shay meiv lo lamayim derech havara, kasho meiv amayim magis amayim tzurim tzurim zehavara. Aval kasho zirik hanimtza lamayim, ein zetak boris amayim shara tzurim hanimtza, aval de maise bukma shaparadz." So here he says an interesting knetch. In other words, when Chazal say that he didn't realize Paro, HaKadosh Baruch had made a shavua not to bring a mabul, that's when the water comes on top of you. But when you go into the water, there wasn't such a gzera. It's a game. What exactly is it? So the Maharal says, let's give a mashal. if I'm standing in a shower, I'm pouring water on myself, I'm doing that to get rid of the dirt or whatever it is and so on. When I'm washing something with water. So again, the water is there to remove, to change its sewer to some degree. When I jump into water, that's a different metzias. That's not the sewer, I don't use the water. Remember, I fell into a place that I can't get out, chas v'shalom, and I'm trapped. So gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to destroy the world with water, meant specifically derech ha'avara, that I will not remove the tzur from the world. Removing tzur from the world is when the water gets sprayed on you, I'm trying to dissolve something. So anytime I want to dissolve something, I take water and keep pouring on it until it dissolves. But when I get the mitzvah to jump into the water, that's not the use of water as water. It's a very different use. So basically, the Maral is trying to combine both. Both of the Peshatim, he says, or the way he explains both Peshatim, is along the same Nekuda, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Paro didn't realize that it wasn't just kind of mechanical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to use water to bring an Einish. He's not going to use water in the sense that the marble was used. So in the sense that the marble destroyed the entire world meant that he had dissolved the tzur of the world. We don't know what the world looked like before now because the entire world was gone. That's a mechikas tzur. If a particular nation gets submerged, it's an einish. But there's no change because the bria hasn't been changed. That is one aspect. That's one manyama. The other manyama is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not pour water on the world, but anyone who jumped into the water, that was his problem. So it's also, when I pour water on something, it's derech mechika and so on. When we're jumping into water, is a misa. I guess when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made aftach after the mabul, that there'll be chayrev and kayetz and this and that, the other thing, he kept saying basically that the tzur of the world remain constant. The world has an order, a structure, things go, things come, and that's always going to remain constant. There's not going to be a change in that. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. Any points, any questions, anything you want to... Okay, yeah. So...
The Rashiva defined Kishuf in that way. What part does Dimyon play in Kishuf? I once heard from Ramay Shapiro that Kishuf works on people who live in Dimyon. So how does that fit in with what the Rashiva said about Dimyon, about the Kishuf?
So generally speaking, Dimyon relates to the... Dimyon relates to the Chitzonius. It's a long story, but let's try to put it down. Whenever I have a discrepancy between Seichel and Dimyon, it's because of what I'm taifis with my senses versus what my Seichel is taifis. So Dimyon, let's take something very simple. I'm selling a car that is old and rusty inside and really, really, is not good. But I painted a beautiful bright color, put in fancy leather seats, and I sell it to you. So Dimyon looks at it and says, wow, this is beautiful. This is gorgeous. Seichel says, this is a Nezem Zov Bafchazir. It's a tranta. It's a piece of garbage. It's you're basically paying the money for seats, not for a car. That's a discrepancy between Seichel and Dimyon. Another example, a person makes a business investment that really, really has lousy odds, but whoever sold it to him painted the picture of him becoming a millionaire. I remember when I came to America, I was, because I'd been away so long, I became extremely, I was for a while, I was a kind of very sensitive to like the volume of mail that kept coming. So at that time, they started having what a printer's clearinghouse sweepstakes. And this is, I still get the mail. I'm not sure. They sell all sorts of odds and ends, but they always have millions and million dollar lotteries, and they're always busy. Like part of it is sweepstakes that you know, you can win, I don't know, tons of money and so on and so forth. So you know, as the years went on, there was more and more sophisticated, but again, I was coming to, so I wasn't used to the computer era was just coming into it. So I get this letter and it says, Dear Aaron, you know, we can't tell you more, but just imagine, you know, you in 10 weeks from now, there's a knock on your door on 1111 University Boulevard, had my address, and we walked down to the Kemp Mill flower shop, which is the flower shop next to me, and this and that, and on and on and on and on, a description of myself becoming a multimillionaire. And then, and P.S., by the way, wouldn't have been nice had you ordered for a few dollars from Aschera. So what was that about? Teretz is, I was already a multimillionaire by the end of the letter. I mean, by the time the letter finished, I was living in Alma Dimian. So what's $40 for some of the nonsense, for the garbage that they have? I mean, it's even embarrassing not to order such a, but it's amazing. So the Teretz is, Dimian works with the pictures. So they had the flower shop. They had like a generic picture of a flower shop which could fit any flower shop. But they literally, so this is Koyach Dimian. But Seichel says, crazy. You know, the odds are the same one in whatever it is for any lottery. And, you know, if you like the gadgets, buy them. If you don't like the gadgets, toss the thing out of the garbage can. What's the difference? But the any time Dimyon is nitfas mitzad chitzoynes advarim, and the emes of seichel is teifis the mohos of the thing, the atzmis of the thing. That's the core difference between the two. That misleads a person.
On the side point of Achdus,
yeah,
where does it play a role? In the fact that we're davening for each other, the fact that we all have to be Noah Gudus Agudus, what does it mean in practical?
It means the following, that let's give an example. If I have a contest, you know, if I show up someplace and I came and a lot of other people didn't come, I'm a hero and those people are not, and I win the prize, I get credit, whatever it is, you know. But let's say you have a mother that has kids that she has to bring to school, and she shows up to school and then they say, okay, where are the kids? And she says, yeah, they're lazy, good for nothing, staying in bed, but I'm as reason I came. You failed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Klal Yisrael. So if we show up and we don't have everybody on board, we're missing. A, because somewhere along the line, everybody in Klal Yisrael has a certain nekuda that he needs to mashlim. And Klal Yisrael, our Eimzel, is a means we all need to come together. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants all of us together. So as long as I have responsibility, it's, you know, it's not going to work if only I do well and the other one doesn't do well. That's where Achta starts from. And the same way in a family. You can't say, well, we made it, and I don't know where they are. If you show up, imagine you're taking your family to Yisroel, and you show up with your wife and the kids somehow still made it. And you, would you say, well, it's tough luck, their problem? No, it's your problem. You know, it's something that is part and parcel of your metzias. Your family is your metzias. Klal Yisrael as a whole, each piece is our metzias.
And where is the red line? Avodah Zarah. Christianity also started with Jews, no?
Why?
Christianity at the beginning was Jewish people, right?
So there is Hoitze Asum in Akhlal. There's a gather where but let me ask you something. If a Yid Chas V'Shalom checks out of Klal Yisrael, do I not have to ask myself, do I bear responsibility? There is a musig of somebody. I mean, as long as the person is Jewish, he's somewhere along the line. There are halachas and there are dinim in terms of caring for his well-being of my reading like Malin. But at the end of the day, the word achrayus rests on us because we're part of one. I mean, and that's the side of it. It's like Rabbi Merkin used to tell when he was principal. Isadol teaches, if the student is not performing well, you're the one who bears responsibility for it. It's not an excuse. It's a challenge. If you don't succeed, you didn't succeed. But tachlis, the relationship is not, I'm a judge to pick who's good and who's not good. I have an achrayus to make sure that everyone who's called my Talmud does well. You can't. But Klal Yisrael comes together as one group. Okay. Good. Guten Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Mishulam, I can call now?
Shabbos.
Okay. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Kotev.
Good Shabbos.